discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm honored to be back again this Sunday. I see the dam is cracking in terms of the movement, and we are burning daylight. You know, it's one of those moments where you just wish you could get everybody in a room and say, let's just hash it out, and let's get organized here. It's like, because I still don't even know if we should be voting early or voting same day paper ballots. So people are already early voting. And then you got a Finocchio that's leading the entire voter initiative. He's telling people vote early. The great Mike Lindell, who's running for governor here, is like, these machines are, we gotta flood the system on game day. We're not even set about that. Now, you could say, hey, don't telegraph to your enemies what you're going to do, what your game plan is. You know, you hit them with a little helter skelter. Okay, cool, fine. Then the entire thing is decentralized. Then we don't have a movement. We are a rebellion. You know, the MAGA movement, the America First movement, is not a political organization. It's a decentralized rebellion. And if that's the case, then this starts to make a little more sense. And maybe God, you know, God, everything works, God's to the good of God's design. Maybe that's some of what we're seeing here. You know, maybe President Trump doesn't even realize that he's breaking the rules-based order. Maybe a lot of us don't. Maybe Israel doesn't realize. Maybe Israel thinks they're getting and maybe they are. Maybe Israel ends up with the Middle East concession. Maybe they end up with the entire Middle East as a concession in this whole deal. I don't know what happens. I don't know. But I do know the petrodollar is the cornerstone of the rules-based order. And to break the Middle East of its oil industry and the would effectively be the final blow to the rules-based order, which is what the entire mainstream media is saying right now. If you read the fine, you know, between the lines, read the fine prints, MSNBC, Axios, all these other places, blockade, and the blockade is like a nuclear strike almost to the rules-based order. And praise be to God, because the rules-based order is corrupt, and NATO is the number one tool of the rules-based order. We don't need to be defending Finocchio Europeans who don't want to defend themselves and give their continent to Muhammad or Muslims or Allah or whoever else, communists, China, whoever. I mean, it's open season there in Europe. But it's really close to being open season here too, right? I mean, we're right on the razor's edge. And can we just get back to the security of elections? It's like, can that be our focus? Am I crazy? I'm running for United States Senate, and I hope I we'll see how endorsements play out. You got Michelle Tafoya, who's a world-class rhino, and maybe she gets endorsed now. I mean, if Lindsey Graham's getting endorsed, Michelle Tafoya's probably next, right? And then it's like, okay, now what? Now what do we do? It's like, we do what Ken Paxton did, right? It's like, we're running, okay? We're running. Love you. You know we do, but we're running. And the reason we're running is because we can, in good conscience, stand next to people who, in the most recent presidential cycle, begged President Trump, do not run. Again, that's what I want to say. I almost forgot. I'd be remiss as a United States Senate candidate who's run a statewide campaign in the state of Minnesota, which is the cultural epicenter of American politics. I'd be remiss not to tell the president and some of the people around him who I do like but have a difference of opinion about certain issues, I'd be remiss not to ask the basic question, why is there all this preferential treatment of these people in this wing of the party that is on the record, and I mean came to me personally and said, do not take President Trump's literature to the doors in Minnesota. They whipped for Nikki Haley. They said, don't bring President Trump's literature. Don't hitch your wagon to President Trump. Don't put President Trump on your mobile billboard. What do you think? And President Trump's not palatable in Minnesota. Then they knife me in the back. And, you know, the four horsemen of the Minnesota Republican constabulary, our four sitting Congress members, Finstad, Stauber, Fischbach, and Tom Emmer, who all claim to be pro-life, by the way, but haven't made one oppositional comment to running a pro-choice Michelle Tafoya. I guess they call themselves pro life incrementalists or whatever it is. In the Catholic Church, we may have a problem with pedophilia and a fake pope, but we don't have any problems with pro-life. The Four Horsemen here in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. I mean, doesn't that kind of tell you the whole deal? Honestly, and I don't mean to make it personal or make it be about me, because it's not about me. I'm just giving you information. The four sitting Republican Congress members in Minnesota refused to endorse me when it was just me and Amy Klobuchar left. So you come up with 1,000 different reasons. You say, oh, wow, it was hurt their brand. No, it doesn't hurt their brand in their district. Their district's more ultra-MAGA than they are. They have to worry about being outflanked from the right in their respective districts because people in Michelle Fischbach's district and in Michelle Fischbach's district specifically are very discontent with Michelle Fischbach's politics. So they have to be worried about being outflanked from the right. They don't have to worry about Tom Emmer has no fear whatsoever that being too far right is going to make him vulnerable in Congressional District 6. Not even close. Not even remotely close. So then you ask yourself, why? Why would they not endorse? Why would they not endorse the Republican endorsed nominee, especially as articulate and, you know, intelligent and strapping young fellow like myself? Why would they not endorse me when it's just me and Cookie Bake Amy? I don't know. You guys answer it. You guys answer the question. I'll let you decide. You know, maybe it's because I'm such a dumb, crazy, conspiratorial Negro and they just can't be associated with me. That's perfectly possible. I don't know. I'm on here 2 hours every weekend and the only reviews we've gotten is like, man, Royce, you're really a voice of reason. Thank you. We appreciate it. I get people all the time come up to me now and they say, man, I had a guy come up to me at my mother's job. I won't say where she works, but anyway, there's a guy who randomly comes up to me. He's got his phone up to his ear, and he taps me on the shoulder. He goes, I'm listening to you right now on InfoWars, right? So, and, you know, Alex has a really big audience and reach for good reason. He's been in it a long time and a lot of loyal people to the show, and I get to benefit from him allowing me to do this on Sundays. But my point is I'm here on Sundays, 2 hours, no script, no notes. You know, you see here, this, by the way, is, I keep this on my desk. This is the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism from June 2021, National Security Council, the Joe Biden administration. This is the only piece of paper we even have on the desk that, you know, the founder's Bible here. I take a peek in it every once in a while, but it's more for decoration. And then we got the President Trump cereal box. You know, some President Trump cornflakes here. But there are no notes. Am I crazy? Am I a conspiracy theorist? Is anything I'm saying today here on the show or the past several weeks crazy? I don't think so. So again, why do the Tom Emmer, Fischbach, Finstad, and Pete Stalbers of the world of the Republican Party not endorse the nominees from their own party when it's just them and the radical Democrats they say they are diametrically opposed to and are fighting tooth and nail to save this country? These are questions that we have to answer. We just have to answer. And with all due respect, Mr. President, I said this the other day on a Spaces on X. I still believe in the president. I still believe that the president is the greatest shot that we have to win or at least to move the football up the field, along with the help from people like Alex Jones and everybody else up and down the line. We got to have a renaissance of the message and the ideas, and we got to have it on the fly, right? Because this plane is going down. So we gotta you know, fix a couple engines here on the fly. But I still support the president. But I'd be remiss not to say at some point here, if I walk up to a man and he's standing in a cornfield and it's, you know, burning up all around him, he's got two buckets of water that are full, I start to think, did you set this fire? You don't, at the very least, you don't mind watching the cornfield burn. And that's the point I was making about the rules-based order. Everybody's gung-ho about, you know, Israel wanting us to do this and whether we're doing it for Israel. Well, two things could be true. Israel may want us to do it, and they may see it as beneficial for us to do it, but there'd still be a much greater agenda. An agenda, in fact, that isn't actually so nice to Israel. And I think the Israelis are starting to figure that out. It's like, NATO, you're not showing up. You know, we're going to do a blockade on the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. I think Israel's starting to figure out that there's a scenario in here where Darth Vader throws the Emperor down the shaft, and they're getting a little uncomfortable themselves. They're getting a little skittish themselves. Even with the ceasefire, it's like, you know, who knows where these, you know, these bombs that hit Tel Aviv, these cluster bombs that hit Tel Aviv, who knows where they came from? I mean, really, come on. We do know that false flags are real. If we're going to dismiss false flags altogether out of hand, we're not being honest with ourselves, let alone each other. So I don't know what's happening for sure. I can't say for sure. But I can say that the very word secrecy is repugnant. And it's not a sign of disloyalty that people, and we all know the agenda's still in motion. We know from the lack of prosecutions. We know from the lack of people who have been brought to justice, who have perpetuated the managed decline of our great nation. We know from the lack of accountability that has taken place, the agenda's still in motion. You know, whether it's stalled or delayed, or, you know, it's regrouping or reorganizing, whatever the case may be, we do know definitively that the purveyors of the agenda to kill this country are out there. So the agenda's still in motion. If that's the case, you can't be, you can't be mad at people who are alarmed. You can't do something, and we got to do something now. I mean, we're 6 months away from the midterms. Now, if the elections don't matter anymore and we're never going to give this government back to the communists, hey, I'm all for it. Honestly, if that's how we're going to do business, then let's do business that way. I'm all for it. You're not going to hear any complaints from me. If we make a decision, a patriotic decision in this country, that we will never give the government back to these communists, I am perfectly fine with it. Now, all those out there who say, oh, Royce is a plant. Royce isn't working for the, oh, Royce, you're a leftist. Oh, you're a Marxist, Mark Levin. Oh, you're a Marxist jihadist. No, I'm a Catholic, okay, sir? I know Christ. Ask yourself, do you? I'm further to the right than most of these people. It's because, you know, you talk about constitutional crisis, and I remember we were discussing Trump 2028 and then the constitutional justification to circumvent the two terms and all these different things, and there were these Republicans, and I'm not talking the Massey wing of the Republican Party. I mean, mainline Republicans scoffed at it here in Minnesota. They scoffed. They went, oh, man, there's no way he's going to get a third term. That would be bad for the country. Same people who said Amy Klobuchar is great for Minnesota. And I kind of tipped my hat earlier. I said I think Lindsey Graham, it's just ridiculous that his name is Lindsey too, right? Not only is he a little squishy and effeminate, but his name is Lindsey. It's like, watch what you name your sons, right? You know, you got to be careful with what you name your sons, okay? Names kind of, you know, carry some spiritual weight, in my opinion. It's like, my son's name is Benjamin, the anti-Semite that I am. Benjamin, my son, right? Royce, right? Future Lincoln, right? I mean, names have weight. Lindsey, fruitcake. I do think that Lindsey is Amy Klobuchar's CIA handler. That's just my opinion. Just an opinion. I don't know it to be a fact, because how could I? I just get the sense when I see Lindsey Graham and Amy Klobuchar and a couple of Parkas there in Ukraine, you know, promulgating a war, I think to myself, CIA, right? And we haven't got much clarity about what all went down there with Ukraine and Russia anyway, and I surely would like some of that secrecy to be uncovered. It's like, what the hell actually happened there in Russia and Ukraine? Let's get back to that. Let's talk about that again. What the heck went on there? How did we? Clarity. We can't talk about it because we know dirty hands. Anyway, I'm sorry. I go off on these tangents. I'm sorry. Point being, these Republicans do not support President Trump, or at least I don't know, maybe they've been given a green light to you know, go about politics in their respective districts the way that they see fit in order to win, because winning is the only thing that's important. But we find ourselves on a slippery slope here and a clock where if we don't change some hearts and minds, we know the momentum of American culture as it stands today will inevitably bend in the arc of technology and convenience. The arc will bend in the direction of technology and convenience. We know that. We know it now. It's like, if we never want to give the government back to communists, I'm with you. If we say it doesn't matter how we win, I can't agree with that. I can't agree with winning by lying anymore. We can't lie to win. You can't lie your way to heaven. You can't lie your way to Christ. At some point, you gotta dig deep and just go, hey, whoa. We got to tell the American people the truth. See, the very word secrecy is repugnant. And there is some level of things that need to stay classified because we are always at war. And I do agree we are always at war. Now, how many trillions of dollars we need to let the Department of War, formerly the Department of Defense, lose to be at war all the time? That's for the American people to decide. And it really disgusts me. The number doesn't come up more often. Department of Defense, when your government loses $2 trillion, when your government steals $2 trillion, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Don't tell me it went missing. It didn't go missing, okay? You don't misplace $2 trillion, not even on paper, not even on computers. You don't just misplace $2 trillion. You don't misplace $20 billion here in Minnesota. It's not you know, incompetence. It's foreign policy. They funneled money to Al-Shabaab. What are we talking about? It's obvious. It's obvious, guys. People are stealing your money, Minnesotans. I know I'm on Alex Jones, the Alex Jones Show, and we're the crazy InfoWar conspiracy theorists, but when $20 billion goes missing, it's not incompetence. It's not a coincidence. Somebody's getting paid, and it ain't you. When $2 trillion goes missing, some foreign leaders got whacked. Some people got black bags. Some people got tagged in bags. Some unmanned aerial vehicles. Some UAVs, some things happened with $2 trillion. When $2 trillion goes missing, some things went down. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. When your government steals, everybody's stealing. There is a level of secrecy that's acceptable. This ain't it. It is incumbent upon our leaders, President Donald Trump, the administration, to, you know, huddle up. Let's get our messaging right. And I mean, we got to be razor sharp because the momentum is against us. It's not a personal attack. I don't mean it, say it to be offensive. I'm talking to people out in the street, you know, and I know what's important to them. And I know what is, you know, what at least for them is at the top of their mind is like democracy. We have to protect our democracy, you know, and it's like, affordability. And then it's like, you know, every once in a while you get somebody who goes, I don't want to be in a war in Israel, for Israel, in the Middle East, right? So there are these top-ish, and you could say, hey, whether or not it's going to make you popular is secondary. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. I understand that. I'm with you. Abraham Lincoln suspends habeas corpus because he feels he has the moral and spiritual high ground to preserve the country and the Union by defeating the Confederate Army. You could argue whether or not that's true, but he had the stones to do it. I'm with you. I know you got to make tough decisions sometimes. The question becomes, do you have the moral and righteous high ground? Because that is very important if you're going to make those kind of calls. And I just find it to be concerning that we would wage a holy war in the name of Christ with a bunch of people who don't believe in him. I mean, maybe that's just me, but I kind of get the sense that we should be very slow to wage a war in the name of Christ, wrap ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people who openly reject him. I'm not talking about people who never knew Christ, who are just being introduced. I'm talking about people who have a lifelong theology of rejecting Christ. Should be very slow to wage a war wrapping ourselves in the cloth of Christ with people like this, in my opinion, just my opinion. And also, because the momentum of secrecy in this country is built up to a point where people are rightfully skeptical of everything they see. And that's part of the problem we're having on the right. People on, even on the right, even in the MAGA movement, are rightfully skeptical of everything they see, because we know we've been lied to every which way, you know, three ways to Sunday. We know we've been lied to. We all know it. We know. We don't know exactly how or when or where or why, but we know that somebody's not telling the truth. We can sense it. We have an intuition. When that becomes the driving spirit, the prevailing sentiment of the zeitgeist, when secrecy and lies and distrust are the prevailing result of government and the message, the communication, you have a crisis. You have a crisis. That crisis must be addressed. The messaging, it must be addressed. It must be addressed. We have to sort this out. We have to walk people through this step by step, meticulously. And it's like, you know, it's hard to get me to believe that if we're just going to blow the Middle East to hell and take the oil racket and redistribute it the way that we want to, or control it for our own strategic advantage, it just seems to me to be a far stretch that there's a high level of secrecy that goes into that. I mean, at least from the philosophical framework of, like, here's why we're doing this. Here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. You know, okay, China, China, it's not one belt, one road. It's one belt to ass. That's what we're doing. You're going to pay your weight in gold, and we built you. And so all the oil is going to run through America. And if you want to get froggy, then leap. Just come out and say that. I think we could actually say that, and we would have a much different zeitgeist here in our country, a much different political discourse. But hey, you know, that's just my opinion. I know for me, it would feel much better. But I get there's a certain level of secrecy that goes into war too. So you're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a brief break.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.